The mules are in the corral. Welcome to Mule Talk, and I'm Cindy K. Roberts, your host.
On this episode of Mule Talk, we have back our author, TV personality, and world-renowned mule trainer, Meredith Hodges of the Lucky Three Ranch. Welcome back.
Well, it's so good to be back, Cindy. And boy, we've got a good topic today, hauling long distances. And believe me, there's a whole lot more to it than you even think.
Oh, you bet. So tell me, what have you learned about hauling mules long distance?
Well, I learned it firsthand. When I moved out to Colorado, I started showing at Bishop in 1982. But what I had to do was I got a brand new truck, a pickup truck, an F-250. Just a regular old pickup with no frills or anything. And I had an old bumper hitch used trailer, WW, four-horse stock trailer that I got. And I wanted to look good at Bishop, so it was red and peeling paint and everything. So I painted it blue to match the truck.
Cool.
And then fully loaded, I did not even assess the route first, and I should have, but I didn't. And I learned from hauling all these different things I'm going to talk about today. All the mistakes that I made, I learned on the road. And I was hauling Little Jack Horner and Sundowner B and C in this four-horse trailer. And the first year, in 1982, we went to Bishop, and we had a six-pack camper on that truck. I loaded up the animals in that rig, and I did not pick my route very well. I didn't look ahead, and I really should have. And we thought, well, we're going to go over I-70, and that's right over the mountains, right outside of Denver, the steepest route there could possibly be. And I had the trailer with four animals in it. It was heavy, and it did really well going up the hill, but going down the other side, we were burning up our brakes. And even putting it in low, we could only go so far. Then we had to stop, cool the brakes, and then go on, you know, that kind of thing. And that's when I decided that perhaps I ought to get another trailer and another rig. So in 1993, I did that. But I looked at trailers, trucks and trailers all over, and I ended up buying the 1993 Super Truck. It's an F-350 diesel from the National Western Stock Show, fully loaded.
Ooh.
And yeah, and in 1992, I had hired a company here in Loveland, two guys that build trailers, because I looked at a bunch of trailers. And I was showing quite a few animals. I was showing seven animals in God knows how many events every day. And Bishop at that point in time was a four-day show. And so I wanted to take seven animals out there, but I needed a trailer with a big enough tack room to carry all the tack and equipment that I needed, because I was doing English Western and driving. And so when I built this trailer, I built it with two tack rooms in it, a dressing room, and I had a rack across the top for hay, because they were having alfalfa at Bishop that they would give you, but that was not healthy for the animals, so I had to haul my own grass hay.
Right.
And then I put my two-wheel Meadowbrook cart on top of the hay and tarped it all down. And on the way there, I learned all about how to tie knots and how to tie this load down up on top and how to keep going up there and tightening it, because in the wind, all the ropes stretched.
Sure.
And it came loose, and then things started slipping and flapping and all that kind of stuff. So I really, you know, had a full gamut of things I had to do on the road, but I was really glad to have that seven-horse slant trailer. And when I built it, the back tack room was removable so that if I wanted to take it out of there, I could, if I only needed one tack room. And then the partitions inside the trailer, it was a slant load. And I went ahead and took those partitions and made a little bit of extra space between them. And they were thicker, so they came closer to the floor, which was very helpful. And where most of the partitions were stabilized on hinges on one side and allowed to slide on a track on the other side of the trailer, I put the track on both sides so that if we had to stop overnight and we didn't have anywhere to, you know, overnight the mules, we could actually take them out for a minute, slide those tracks, and make box stalls inside the trailers for them.
Wow.
Provided it wasn't looted, you know, loaded with seven mules, you
right,
know.
Right.
You know, at that time, they didn't have aluminum trailers, so I built this trailer out of steel,
wow.
And my truck and trailer weighed into 16,000 pounds at the weight station,
ooh,
empty, and 26,000 pounds loaded.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a load, and that was just before those kind of little mini semi-trucks came out. They came out, what, in about 98 or something like that, and I was thinking about getting one, but my dually was doing pretty good, my Ford dually, so I stuck with that. But there is a whole lot of stuff that you have to do and that you have to think about. You know, you got to think about your animals not getting tired on the ride. And one of the problems that happened with that WW trailer was it was a pretty rough ride for the animals. So when I built that other trailer, we put good shocks on it, new tires all the way around, you know, tires that would run smoothly. We balanced the trailer so that the ride was, for the animals, was like riding in a Cadillac. You know, it was really, really smooth and not so tiring, and afforded us to be able to stop anywhere. Before you leave on a long distance trip, there are things that you need to take into consideration. Like, you need to, if you're going to be hauling more than 5 hours, you're probably going to be crossing state lines and everything. So you need to make sure that you have your health papers and recent Coggins tests done for the trip. You'll need those to cross the state lines. A lot of them will just let you through, but some won't. If you need to carry firearms with you, you need to look at the state laws for legal carrying.
Oh, yeah.
That's really important. You don't want to be taken to jail if they find out you got the gun in the front seat with the bullets.
Right.
And yet you need that on the road, because we got chased one time. There was two of us going out there. Cindy Powell from Virginia came to the Lucky Three, and then we hauled out together to Bishop. And this guy started chasing her and her trailer,
oh,
you know, and tried to slow us down to pull us over. And it got a little scary, you know. We managed to scare him more than he scared us, but that's okay.
All right.
You know how us mule girls are.
You bet. We're scrappers.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. That's right. And so the other thing you need to look into, too, is there are separate temporary insurance policies you can get for these kinds of trips and everything. I wouldn't recommend insuring the equines themselves. It's often very expensive, and they don't pay if something happens.
Yeah.
And you should always carry a first aid kit and a toolbox to fit, you know, to fix simple problems that you might have with your truck and trailer along the road.
Mm-hmm.
When I was planning on doing stops and unloading the mules to walk them and everything with the smaller trailer that I had, it was little Jack Horner that convinced me I needed a new trailer, because I unloaded him and we walked him all along, and the mules got back in really, really well. But little Jack Horner did not want to go back in the trailer.
Uh-oh.
And it took me three hours to get him in to the trailer. I had Sonny in the front, and he was supposed to go in right beside him because they were pals, you know, the Jack and the older mule, and they were half-brothers. But little Jack Horner decided he would rather live in the woods at the rest stop, you know. So it took us lifting, you know, snubbing his face into that trailer and then lifting his hindquarters and practically somersaulting him back into the trailer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, not fun, but we got her done. It just took a while. The other thing that happened with the smaller trailer, I had BNC riding in the back of it, and we were coming out of Loveland, Colorado, and we got to the state line at Wyoming. And I was counting the mules in my trailer because the inspector says, "Oh, it says you've got 4 mules here. I only see 3. Looked at that trailer, and sure enough, Sonny and LJ were there, and B was there, but I couldn't see CG anywhere. So I opened up the back of the trailer, and CG was laying down underneath B. She didn't like that rough ride in that trailer. So she decided she was going to lay down in there and stay there, and that's what she did. I got her up on her feet again, but I had to unload B, who had to step over C to get out of the back of the trailer. So it was a little Western, you know, as things are with your mules, you know, sometimes. And I loaded them up again, and then she stood for the rest of the trip. But she sure as heck did not like it. It was very bad. Yeah. But getting back to, you know, some of the more practical things that you should do, you should be sure that the trailer that they're riding in affords safety and comfort, and that the plates on both your truck and trailer are up to date. Before you leave, you should check over your trailer from top to bottom. Make sure the hitch is secure and in good repair, and that there are no weakened welds anywhere. Check your trailer's tires. What I like to do is just get a whole new set of tires for the truck and trailer every year. And since I was going, you know, 1,200 miles every year, it made sense to do that. You want to check your bearings, axles, and brakes for maximum performance.
Sure.
You want to make sure, you want to make sure all the lights are in working order and the plug-in you've got for your lights is correct. And it's still running current. Take the trailer mats out and check the floorboards for rot and other weaknesses, and replace those floorboards if they are even questionable. I've heard of horses being hauled and their legs have gone right through the bottom of the trailer.
Right. And, yes.
And it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Pretty gross.
It's pretty bad.
It's, like I said, it's also good just to get a whole new set of tires and be up to snuff when you hit the road. As far as bedding is concerned, because my trailer was fully enclosed and not a stock trailer, I used shavings on the inside of the trailer because they do encourage urination. But straw will do that too, and the straw is better to use in a more open trailer because it doesn't fly around as much as the shavings do, and that can get into your animal's eyes and irritate them and make them a little nervous. You should also have thicker mats, not those thin mats, for more absorption of the trailer vibration, as well as dispersing the moisture from the urination. A trailer should give each animal ample space in which to stand. If your mules and donkeys are crowded in too tightly, they'll be tense and anxious throughout the trip, and they will tire easily, and then they'll stop eating. And if they're too tight, it can result in battles between animals. You want to research your route well ahead of time, as I told you when I ended up going over the mountains out of Denver with that four-horse WW trailer and almost burn up my brakes on the way down the other side. Since then, we've gone up through Wyoming across I-80, and that is a much smoother trip. You want to look into rural fairgrounds, campgrounds for overnighting. In my case, I actually could overnight at one of those truck stops because I could keep my animals in the trailer as long as I didn't sleep for too long.
Been there.
As soon as it got past 5 hours, CG would start pounding. So if you were asleep, you weren't going to be asleep much longer.
It's time to go.
That's right. And she knew when that was, and by golly, she was like an alarm clock. So I tried not to do that too many times. I just found a lot of fairgrounds along the routes, and the people at the fairgrounds were really, really nice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you should also avoid going into and stopping in highly populated cities, especially now.
Right.
There are a lot of thugs out there that can cause you a lot of trouble, if not kill you.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, better to hit the rural gas stations and everything, and be sure to check, you know, and make sure that there are gas stations in those towns that you're looking at. Because when you get to Utah, for instance, there was like a gas station, and then there wasn't another one for 100-something miles. And we actually ran out of gas on that long stretch, but this is how I learned it.
Mm.
And we unloaded the animals and unhooked the truck, and my husband drove back to the gas station to get enough gas to get us back to the gas station and fill up again. And so that's what we did. These days, too, I would not rely on GPS.
Right.
Have paper maps with you of all the states that you'll be passing through for reference, because they have all the details that, you know, the computer doesn't necessarily have on your phone. The best thing to do, too, is if you have friends along the route, call them and see if you can stay with them, because that way you can feel completely safe. And a lot of times they've got facilities where you can unload and keep your animals safely and know that they're going to be okay overnight. You just got to call them ahead and plan for the dates and times with your friends so they know well ahead of time when you're coming. Your animals should also be dressed for their trip. When you go across multiple states, you're going to find that the weather is different from one to the next. And you can have, you know, really cold weather 1 minute on top of the mountains and then drive down the other side and it could be like 90 degrees. So, and also, when they're confined in a trailer like that, the partitions, even though they were wider partitions in my trailer and everything, the animals can start moving around and they can end up kicking each other underneath those partitions. The shipping wraps are advised, you know. And the thing is, too, what I do with my guys is most of the time when I was starting, as a matter of training, I would put them into the trailer one at a time and put their wraps on in the trailer and teach them to stand still and move where I wanted them to move. I would take them in one at a time with the partitions open, tie them up in front. And which reminds me, too, we had a triangle kind of a canvas thing that would be right underneath the window that's in front where they're standing. And I would keep that. I had that in there for oats. And then I would tie the hay nets up from the ceiling. You don't want those hay nets too low because they can get a foot in there, you know, and get tangled up. Or if they have a halter on, they can even get their face in there if they chew a big enough hole in it and get stuck that way and start thrashing around and causing all kinds of problems. So it's really good, you know, to protect their legs with shipping wraps. And at the same time, the way I put them on and not do it outside the trailer and just lead them in, taught them to be handled inside the trailer. And the other thing that I found was, like I said, you know, I could put the blankets on, and here in Colorado in May, it can be very cold when I load them. And then we can get on the other side of those mountains once we've gotten through Colorado and into Wyoming. And then all of a sudden it can start to get hot. So I taught my animals to stand still while I climbed over the back of them.
Yeah.
One at a time, and stood on the stanchions, then dropped myself into the stanchion and took their blankets off.
Good for you.
And they would let me do that, and then I could, if it got cold again, then I could just walk over the top of those stanchions again and drop their blankets onto them and jump down in front of them and get them all buckled up and everything. And they were used to having me jumping in and out of there, and they learned to stand really, really still. And they were really, really good, you know, good for me going in and out of there. So
I know that you have really good monkey moves.
Oh, I do. I have incredible monkey moves. And it keeps you fit, too.
Yes.
You know, my exercise program is not only for the animals. It's for you, too.
Oh, you bet.
You know, and that works really well. You need to keep in mind that donkeys like to sit on their butts.
Oh, yeah.
And LJ was no different. Little Jack Horner was no different. But what I did with him is, instead of taking his blanket all the way off, of course, when it was on, it would protect his butt when he sat back on it. But instead of taking his blanket all the way off, what I would do is just fold it back over his rump and then take the front buckles and everything and buckle it onto him that way, leaving on the straps that go around his legs so it wouldn't slide off or anything. But now when it's warm, it's just draped over his butt. So when you're loading your mules and donkeys, pay special attention to each individual's needs. Animals that lean one way or the other generally do better in a slant load trailer rather than in an inline trailer. But if you must use an inline trailer, make sure that the animal that leads has a solid wall or partition on the side that he leans on. So if he leans to the right, put him on the right side of the trailer. If he leans to the left, put him on the left. In other words, you don't want him leaning against the partitions.
Oh, okay.
Also, keep in mind that you want animals to be next to each other that get along. That's really important because even with the way they build the partitions, they can suck back and lean over the partition and bite each other on the neck and stuff. So we don't want to have them picking at each other along the road. The other thing that I like to do is I like to keep their routine as close to their home routine as possible. So I do that. Oh, and one more thing, too. If they like to ride, if you have them in an open stock trailer, another alternative is to load your animals into the trailer and then tie them facing backwards. A lot of animals like to face backwards.
Yes.
If you're picking up a herd of animals in a stock trailer, then don't tie them up, but be sure to take the halters off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any tack and equipment on an animal that is being transported. It's too easy for them to get tangled up in. They could fall down. Then you got a mess because you can't get them out, you know. If they have to get on their feet, they can't if they're tangled up and all of that. But, and I do understand that there are some animals that, you know, just prefer, you know, riding backwards. And that works in the stock trailer, but don't try that in a slant load.
Right.
Because, it, you know, that's a completely different balance that they have to do there. Also, when you're keeping their routine regular like at home, keep grass hay in a hay net in front of them all the time, but hang it high, like I said. And if it's there, it will encourage them to relax, accept the situation. And don't feed alfalfa hay. And oats can be fed at the end of the day, like what we do. We feed the oats at the end of the day. So when you stop for overnighting, that's when you go ahead and pour those oats into their stanchion before you unload them. And let them go ahead and eat the oats in the trailer. Because you have control over that. The other thing I might mention at this time, too, is the water will be tasting different from one place to another. So it's always advisable to just take some water from home and fill up several jugs of it for the trip, for traveling. And, you know, the other thing is, too, when they're going along in the trailer, the movement in the trailer, if you're feeding grains and oats and stuff like that during the trip, it can cause colic. And so you don't want them to get colicky. And like I said, you got to make sure they get enough water. If you can't carry that many jugs of water with you, enough for the trip, then what you can do is, you know, carry something like Kool-Aid or iced tea to mix in with the water, something that they would like. Now, little Jack Horner had a preference for iced tea. So we could buy cans of iced tea and pour a little iced tea in his water and, you know, get him to drink like that. Because most of the time, you know, with all that movement and the trailer and everything, they just don't feel like drinking during the day. And they can get dehydrated, you know, and that's where we were talking about electrolytes and you try to give them that. But
sure.
A lot of times they won't even take that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's better to just adjust your water and avoid the colic situation altogether.
So, Mayor, how did you discover that little Jack Horner liked iced tea? How did you know that?
Because I saw people feeding their animals cans of Pepsi, and they thought it was cute. So I thought it was cute, too. And he liked Pepsi, too. But iced tea doesn't have the fizzly stuff in it. And, you know, it's not fizzly, it's just straight tea with no fizzle in it.
Right.
I thought the fizzle in it might upset his digestive tract.
Sure.
So I used to feed him cans of straight Lipton's iced tea with lemon.
What a good idea.
Yeah, and he would like that, you know, and that was one of the ways, too, when I went out to see him during the day, when I was at the bottom of one of my cans of iced tea, I would stop at his pen and ask him to come over and then let him have the rest of the iced tea. So,
wow.
So I kind of put those things to use, you know, so that's kind of how I discover things, by trial and error anyway, you know.
All right.
Keeps it interesting, and actually that's the long airs teaching and training me.
Yeah.
And me listening to what they're trying to tell me.
Yeah,
you know,
you got it.
And I find it works really well, and it keeps them really healthy. The other thing that I discovered, and after that incident of unloading little Jack Horner and spending 3 hours trying to get him back into the trailer, I discovered that I could let them ride as long as 12 to 14 hours straight without too much discomfort if you make frequent 15 to 20 minute stops every 2 to 3 hours along the journey.
Right.
So it doesn't need to interrupt your travel schedule, because you're already going to be stopping for gas along the way. Just stop for gas longer.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're doing it, you know, this gives your animal the time to stretch and relax and let his legs stop vibrating, you know, for stopping for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. So you don't have to unload them. If you want to, you can, but it's not necessary, and I just like unloading at the end of the day. And when we stop, we also check the hay, make sure there's still hay in front of them. We offer them water. If you have animals that are difficult to load and unload, this is a much better way to do it. And it keeps them healthy, and they won't colic if they have that time to unwind for a few minutes, you know, every 3 hours along the journey does really well. And by the end of a long trip, they'll be loading and unloading more easily because they're not uncomfortable. They won't look at it as a long torture trip,
yeah,
you know,
because yeah,
you do stop and you talk to them. And then, you know, while you're at the gas station, you always have people that are coming in for gas and they got kids with them. And they go, oh, what do you have in the trailer? And then you get to show them everything in the trailer, and they get to pet the mules, and the mules like it.
And another,
so you make it kind of a pleasurable trip for all of you.
And it's a photo op, too. People want to have their photos taken with the mules, you know. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and then you have photos to add to your diaries, you know, and to the products that you want to make later, you know. So, yeah, it's all a good thing. Just be sure to ask the people to sign a release.
Yeah. You got it.
Oh, yeah. And long before you actually, as I pointed out, before you go anywhere, get your animals being used to being handled inside the trailer. When unloading, always make them stand and wait. Don't just go in and untie them and then let them jerk you right out the back of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I usually remove the leg wraps as I put them on before I let them come out. They have learned that when I swing that partition, they're not supposed to start stomping and pawing or anything like that. They've got to wait for me until I get those leg wraps off. The removal of the leg wraps before unloading will add purpose to your long ears waiting time as they come to understand. Because long ears like purpose to everything that they're doing.
Right.
Frequently offering the water at the stops gets your animals used to your moving about in the trailer while they're loaded. Most equines realize that all of this is for their benefit, and you should find them mostly cooperative and appreciative. Having water from your home in plastic jugs makes it really easily. You know, they will drink easily. Otherwise, that can be kind of a challenge, too. And as I said, when you have to change the blankets inside the trailer, you can adjust it. You can you know, put heavy blankets on them. Or maybe they only need a sheet. But they learn to stand quietly while you're moving along in the trailer, you know, around them in the trailer and everything. And there's no kicking. And if they start to get kind of nasty with another animal, you just yell at them. You just go, no. And they've already learned that at home. They don't want to make the mama mad, because when the mama gets mad, she gets kind of psycho. And they don't like it when we go psycho on them. They'd much rather have us being predictable, you know, and quiet and all of that. And when you're in the trailer, don't move too quickly or abruptly. You don't want to startle them, and you can even get yourself trapped. But if you do have an emergency to attend to en route, your animals have been trained in this manner described, and you should be able to get to the animal in trouble with minimal problems. It sometimes takes a little more patience to get horses to stand quietly in the trailer. They're so reactive. You know, mules and donkeys are thinking animals, so they can figure out what you're up to, and they usually will cooperate if it's all predictable. And if you've been really consistent, you know, in your routine, they know that you're not going to do anything really weird. So... You know, you want to make your trips, your long hauls can be relaxing and enjoyable road trips, depending on the things that you do with your animals to prepare for it.
I have a question about leg wraps when you're wrapping them for a long haul. I generally wrap with quilts in the direction of their tendons. For tendon support, I use the bandages around their legs. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I like to do that too. I like the quilt wraps, and I start wrapping from the middle and make sure that I'm wrapping from front to back around, and I start from the middle of the cannon bone, and then I wrap all the way down first and then all the way to the top.
Yes.
So that the last thing you do is at the top. The other thing I will do is I got to pay attention to the pressure of the wraps.
Right.
And so that is good. And even if it's not too tight, because you don't want to mess with circulation, but you want to make sure that it's supporting the tendons. And then up at the top, I will go ahead and take a piece of duct tape where I'm tying off at the top and put that around the top to hold that wrap in place.
Oh.
Because usually Velcro won't do it.
Okay.
It will pull loose and it will come undone. Then what I do is I take the quilt wraps, you know, the ones with the fleece wrapped ones with the plastic on them, and I put them over the top, because the quilt will absorb moisture, but that nylon over the top of that fleece will repel any moisture and keep it from getting into the quilt wraps and being absorbed and right up against the legs.
Okay, so it's kind of like a double protection. You've got your quilts, you know, that are wrapped, and then you've got the extra fuzzy
nylon fleece wraps over the top.
Yeah.
And again, with those two, those are the Velcro wraps, those fleece wraps. And again, what you do is you start in the middle and then do the ones at the bottom and the ones at the top, and then where the Velcro is, put a piece of duct tape over them.
Wow. So we're duct taping our mules.
Yes, we are. We duct tape everything. Anything that needs to be fixed. Duct tape is the best thing ever.
I love it. So.
Yeah, and let me give you another clue. There's another black tape out there that's like duct tape that they came up with.
Yes.
And it's called Gorilla Tape.
Right.
Don't use that on leg wraps or anything, because it sticks to things really well.
Right.
And it won't come loose. So if you want something not to come loose, then put it on that.
That's
but
forever.
If you are going to be taking wraps off and stuff like that, then you want the gray duct tape.
There you go. So Meredith,
I learn all kinds of things,
Yeah. And you're so good at sharing your knowledge.
I know. Well, you'll never run out, because these mules in a lifetime are going to teach you something new every single day. But you got to be open to it. You got to kind of look at them like they're completely honest individuals. Their reactions to everything is completely honest.
Right.
So they are never truly being disobedient.
Right.
If something's not working, you better blame yourself.
Yep, you better find out what it is.
That's right. That's okay. Absolutely right. And you can learn a lot that way.
Oh, yeah. If only they could talk.
Well, you know what? They are talking.
They are. That's
they are
true.
Talking in body language. They are talking in everything that they do with us. Their eyes express things.
Oh, yeah.
Their lips and their nose. I mean, really,
right.
Boy. You better look out at the wrinkles right there on their nose. And
yeah.
If they're too wrinkled there, you better look at yourself and go, uh-oh. Why are they mad at me?
Mm-hmm.
And they may not do anything, but it will show very stoically in their eyes and those wrinkles right around their nostrils, I'm very displeased with you, but you've taught me how to be good.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to torture them.
We just need to be better listeners.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A better listener is going to learn a lot more, and a better listener is going to have a much more enjoyable time with their animal.
So, Meredith, you have a website.
I do. My website is at www.lucky3ranch.com, and that's spelling out 3, not the number 3. I have another website for children, because I believe that they need to learn how to handle animals at a young age, and then they won't run into these things that we practice that aren't necessarily very humane, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Facebook page at Meredith Hodges Public Figure Facebook page. I actually have two of them. I have a friends page too, but it's maxed out at 5,000. But I put the same thing on both Facebook pages, so you won't miss anything. And if you do have questions or concerns and you've looked at the website and you can't find your answers, feel free to email me at meredith@lucky3ranch.com or call me at 800-816-7566. And if you don't get me straight up, leave a message. I answer every email, every letter, and every phone call.
What is the website for children? I don't think we gave that out.
Okay, the website for children is jasperthemule.com.
There you go. All right. Meredith, you have a wonderful day, and we will talk
soon.
Thank
you. Okay, don't wear those waders anymore. But you sure look cute in them.
Oh, you're funny.
If you'd like to be a guest on the show or a sponsor, send me an email.
Everycowgirlsdream@gmail.com.
Gotta go. My mule is looking for me.
Mule Talk is an Every Cowgirl's Dream production.